The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
Jesus willingly laid down his life for the sins of mankind. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out there was no other path for us to get to heaven.
Jesus faced the judgment of God. He took the wrath of God on himself. He was bearing your sin, my sin, our sin. And then he rose again from the dead so I can have this hope of eternal life. As I've said so many times, heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people.
This is the day.
Between a rock and a hard place, the future was looking dim. For all have sinned and fallen short. No one is righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death. But that Bible verse has a second part. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out that free gift had a high price. Jesus paid for the gift that we can freely receive.
So let's go back in our imaginations for a moment. 2,000 years. Let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of those first century disciples because they were devastated. They were discouraged. They were downhearted. Their world as they knew it ended overnight when their Lord, their Master, Jesus Christ, started talking about being betrayed and crucified. And then right there in front of their eyes, they watched him murdered in cold blood. They couldn't believe this was actually happening. Their hope was defeated. Their dreams were destroyed. Their faith was demolished. And so the women went to the tomb together to anoint his dead body. And they get to the tomb and it's empty. And an angel tells them, you go tell the disciples and Peter, he's risen and he'll meet you in Galilee. So we come to that scene now in John 21. Where they encountered Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said, and they went out into the boat and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was, and he called out, fellows, do you have any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. And they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic and jumped into the water and headed to the shore. The other stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore. They were only 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire with some bread. Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. And Jesus said, come now and have some breakfast. Here now are 5 takeaway truths from the resurrection of Jesus that apply to you directly. Why Easter matters. Point number 1. Because of Jesus' resurrection, I will one day receive a new body. Listen, death does not have the final say, even over our body. Easter has the final say. This picture of Jesus coming out of the tomb is a preview of things to come because we too will one day be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, the truth is Christ has been raised up. The first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries, but we'll have to wait our turn. Christ is first, and then those with him will rise at his coming. So Jesus rose in a real body, in a real world, in a real way. He spoke with a real voice. This was a real physical bodily resurrection. Number 2, because of Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection bodies will be much like his. Our new bodies will be much like his. 1 John 3 says, beloved, now we're the children of God. It's not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So, okay, what was the resurrection body of Jesus like? Well, it was physical. I already pointed out he bore in his body the marks of the crucifixion. He spoke with a real voice. He made real fish with real hands. So it was a physical body, but at the same time, it did not have the normal limitations that a human body has. He could appear in a room without using the door. But another trait of this resurrection body of Christ is he ate food, which means when we get to heaven and we come back again to the new earth, we're going to eat food, and I'm very thankful for that. How many of you like to eat food? Yes, I do too. And I know that when we get to glory, we're going to eat together. Matthew 8:11 says, people will come from the east and west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And not only will you meet these great saints of old, you will be reunited with your loved ones that have preceded you, who have died in faith. Heaven is going to be an incredible reunion. And not only that, you're going to learn in heaven. More revelation about God is going to be revealed to you over the passing of time. We're not going to just sit around and sing worship songs. We're going to be serving the Lord. We're going to be working for the Lord. We're going to be learning from the Lord. It's going to be amazing. And also, because of Jesus' resurrection, our bodies will no longer age or get sickness or break down. Now, sometimes people wonder, what age will we be when we get there? I was talking with Stella and Lucy, two of my granddaughters, and one of them asked me, Papa, how old will we be when we're in heaven? I said, well, I don't know exactly. Maybe 33. They said, why 33? I said, well, that was the age of Jesus when he died. Maybe 33. And then Lucy said, one of my granddaughters, said, I want to be 3 when I'm in heaven. I said, why do you want to be 3 when you're in heaven? She said, I don't know. I just miss the old me. Funny. But even if you're young, you need to know your body is breaking down. You're already losing brain cells. I read that a study was done pointing out the brain starts breaking down at the age of 20. The number of nerve cells and the brain decrease. We start with around 100 billion brain cells, but in our 20s, this number starts to decline. By 40, listen to this, we could be losing up to 10,000 a day. That's why you can't remember where your keys are, or you can't remember where you parked your car at the mall, or you can't find your reading glasses that are perched on top of your head. That's why you're losing brain cells. You've probably already lost 5,000 brain cells listening to this sermon. But if you have a disability, that will not be there in your new body. If you've had cancer or the ravaging effects of AIDS, that will not happen in the new body that God is going to give us. And also, because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there's going to be a final judgment. There's going to be a final judgment. Acts 17:31 says, he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man he has ordained. He's given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. You might say, well, Greg, I was with you when you were talking about how great heaven's going to be. Now, what are you talking about judgment for? Because it's real. And this is why Jesus died on the cross for you. He took the judgment of the Father that I should have faced and that you should have faced upon himself, so I don't have to deal with it. That's why he died. And then he rose again from the dead so I can have this hope of eternal life. So I need to believe in him to have that given to me. But a judgment is coming. And it's not about how good of a life you lived or how bad of a life you lived. As I've said so many times, heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. And the only way I'm going to get into heaven, the only way you're going to get into heaven is by God's grace. You say, what does that even mean? Grace means God's unmerited favor. In other words, because I believe Jesus died for me, I ask him to forgive me of my sin. I put my faith in him that I can go to heaven. It's not going to be by good works. Heard about a guy that died and went to heaven. Peter met him at the pearly gates and said, okay, here's how it works, buddy. you need 1,000 points to get into heaven. This is a true story. Obviously, it's an illustration. You need 1,000 points to get into heaven. Tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you points for each of them. The man excitedly said, oh, well, I was married to the same wonderful wife for 50 years. I was never unfaithful to her. I didn't even cheat on her in my heart. Peter said, okay, that's good. 3 points. 3 points. How many do I need again? You need 1,000 points. Oh, wow. Okay, well, I attended church every Sunday. I went to a midweek Bible study. I went to the prayer meetings. I even gave in the offering faithfully. Peter says, okay, that's worth 1 point. 1 point. The guy says, well, I started a soup kitchen in the city and I reached out to homeless people. He said, that's very commendable. I'll give you 2 points for that. 2 points. And I need 1,000 points. The guy says, man, the only way that I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. Peter said, you've got it. That's worth 1,000 points. Come on in. See, that's how it works. The only way any of us are going to get in is because of God's grace and God's forgiveness.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We send these daily studies out via the radio, satellite, and over the internet. And we don't always know how these messages are touching lives. But when we hear the stories of our listeners, it reassures us that these lessons are helping people.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg, for your encouraging and grounding message on God's answer to fear and worry. It has helped me so much. As I grow older, I find myself getting more and more anxious about just silly things. It's a great reminder to pray for childlike faith and trust that God is truly in control.
Yes, He is in control. Do you have a story to tell of how Pastor Greg's studies have made an impact on your life? If so, would you share that with us? Just call 1-866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144.
Well, Pastor Greg is helping prepare us for the Easter celebration this weekend. His message today is called The Death of Death. Let's continue.
You know, I mentioned that I have a mom in heaven and the father who adopted me. I've told you before that my mother liked to get married a lot, and she got married and divorced 7 times. And I was able to lead her back to Christ 1 month before she died. I was able to lead one of her husbands named Oscar, who adopted me, Oscar Laurie, to Christ. And I had a full-time ministry evangelizing my mom's old husbands. One of them, his name, I'll call him Eddie. He lived in Hawaii. In fact, one day I got out of school in New Jersey. The car was loaded up with suitcases. And I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to Hawaii. I was very excited because I'd never been to Hawaii at that point. And I said, where's Dad? She said, he's not coming. So we land there in Honolulu. And here's this guy I've never seen before. He's about 6'2" or 6'3", big guy. And he owned a bar on the beach in Waikiki. And he was a big drinker like my mother. And he was a violent drunk like my mother. So they would get in fights every night, hitting each other, throwing things, smashing out giant windows. And one night I was in bed and I heard a loud strike and then a thump. And I came out of my bedroom and my mom was laying on the floor in a pool of blood. And he had hit her with a wooden statue. I could see the blood on it still. He said, go to bed. It's just ketchup. Well, even a little kid isn't that stupid. So I went and climbed out of the window and went to a neighbor's house. And they called the police. And my mom left him. So now fast forward many years. I become a Christian. I was able to lead Oscar to the Lord over in New Jersey. And I was over in Hawaii. And I was going to be speaking at the Waikiki Shell for an outreach there. And someone told me that Eddie was still alive, in fact, lived right near the Waikiki Shell, and said, would you like to go and talk to him? And my answer was, no, I would not. I didn't want to share the gospel with him. And the Lord changed my heart in that, and I said, okay, I'll go. Not looking forward to it, but I'll go. And I walked in the house, and there he was. The flashback of those times with him. I don't know. But I just began to tell him that God loved him, and God would forgive him of all of his sin. And I said, you know, I'm going to be speaking across the street here at the Waikiki Shell. I'd like you to come as my guest. And he couldn't walk very well because he was injured in World War II. And so I said, I'll drive you over. And he says, no, I don't want to go. Well, no, it's across the street, like right over there. You come over and I'd love to have you. No, I don't want to go. And then I shared the gospel with him. He's, okay, I don't care. I'm not interested. Wow. You know, and this is the thing. I bring this up because one of these men that I shared with, Oscar, believed it and accepted Christ. Now he's in heaven. Eddie heard the gospel, rejected it. And you know what? If you end up facing judgment, that's on you. We have a choice in this matter. Jesus faced the judgment of God. He took the wrath of God on himself. That's why he cried from the cross the words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was bearing all the sin of the world. Let me get specific. He was bearing your sin, my sin, dying in our place. And if I'll turn from that sin and put my faith in him, I can be forgiven and I can know that I'll go to heaven when I die. This is why he came. The reason for the incarnation was for the atonement. The birth of Jesus was so there would be the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And so we want you to come into a relationship with God if you have not done that yet. You say, well, how do you do this exactly? Number one, you have to admit you're a sinner. Some of us choke on that word, but we have to just say, I know that I've broken God's commandments. If you've broken one commandment in the Bible, if you've ever told a lie, if you've ever stolen, if you've ever taken the Lord's name in vain, you've sinned. Well, all of us have done that many times over. The Bible says all of us sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have to admit it. But then you need to realize that Jesus died for your sin. I think sometimes people think like the death of Jesus was some kind of an aberration. Like, why did this even happen? This is why he came. He talked about it all the time. He was on a mission to go to the cross of Calvary. He knew exactly what he was doing. His life was not taken from him. He gave it up for us. As I've said before, nails did not hold Jesus to that cross 2,000 years ago. Love did. Love for you and love for me. He died for me. As the Apostle Paul said, he loved me and gave himself for me. I need to realize Jesus died on that cross for me, and then I need to repent of my sin. And the word repent is a military term that means to hang a U-turn, sort of like a about face. Just like that. I've been walking away from God. Now I'm walking to God. I'm turning from my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. And then I must receive Christ into my life. I must ask Jesus to come and be my Savior and my Lord. Look, your parents can't do this for you. Your kids can't do this for you. Your husband or your wife can't do this for you. Someone who brought you here to church today can't do this for you. This is a decision you make. And listen, eternity hinges on this decision. I want you to come into a personal relationship with God and know that you'll go to heaven when you die, and then know the meaning and purpose of life right now. And you know what? Christ is just a prayer away. He's not merely a historical figure that walked our planet, hung on a cross, rose from the dead. He's here right now in this place, standing at the door of your life, and he is knocking and he is saying, if you will hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Here's my question. Have you asked Jesus to come into your life? Do you know that your sin is forgiven? And do you have complete confidence that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? If you don't, you've kind of missed the point of Easter. That's what this is all about. It's not about wearing pastel colors and eggs and brunches and all that. That's all fine. But that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus wanting a relationship with you. And I hope you want a relationship with him. And if you do, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask him to come into your life, to be your Savior and Lord. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to extend an invitation, just like I extended to my mother when I shared with her, or my father who adopted me, and even with Eddie who didn't want to respond. In this invitation I'm going to extend, you're either going to say yes to it or you're going to say no to it. You're either going to say, yes, I want Jesus in my life, or I don't want Jesus in my life. It's either or. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're with me or you're opposed to me. What side are you on? Would you like him to come into your life this Easter? He'll do it. He's just waiting for an invitation. Let's pray. Father, speak to the hearts of everyone here, especially those that don't know you, or maybe some who've known you but have gone astray. They've been prodigal sons or daughters. Lord, call them home again today. Help them to see that this can be a day of a new beginning for them. Help them to respond now to your truth. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important invitation today. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment. And if you would, be in prayer right now for those who are making this kind of decision. Now, if you missed any part of the presentation, you can get caught up by going online to harvest.org or just call up our Harvest app on your mobile device. Or for a CD copy, dial 1-800-821-3300. Again, 1-800-821-3300. The title of today's study, The Death of Death. You know, Pastor Greg, our listeners are pretty much aware that you were raised in part by an alcoholic mother who wasn't walking with the Lord.
Right.
And in part by grandparents who were walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
Were spiritual values passed along to you when you were small?
Generally, I would say the answer to that is no. I guess my only exposure to biblical things was a painting of Jesus that hung on the wall of my grandmother's house, some visits to church that I always found very boring, and then things I would see in television movies that had been made back in the 50s about Jesus, like King of Kings and the greatest story ever told. And I was always enthralled by and interested in these stories of the life of Jesus. Honestly, I just needed someone to explain it to me. And it wasn't until I was 17 years old that I heard it in a way I understood. And I wish someone had just taken the time to read me a Bible story and tell me how it applied to me, because I know I would have been very responsive to it. And that's why it's so important to get the truth of God's word into the hearts and minds of children at the earliest age. Because even if they can't understand all the words, they can understand the cadence of what you're saying. They can see pictures and images that give them an idea of this. Because what I did with my kids, Dave, is I got them into the Word of God when they were very young kids. And I read them lots of little stories. And we went through picture books together, Bible picture books. And, of course, I did my own versions of Bible stories with them as well and added humor. But this is something that's so very, very important to teach to our children. And I don't know of anyone that does a better job of it than Sally Lloyd-Jones. And I'm looking at this amazing two-book set that we're offering to our listeners right now called Found and Loved. One is based on the Lord's Prayer, the other on Psalm 23, beautifully illustrated by an artist named Jago. There's also a special art print that's included. And so what a great set of books to have nearby that you can open up and read to your children and grandchildren. And we're offering this to you for your gift of any size to help us continue in this radio broadcast to teach God's word and to proclaim the gospel. Found and Loved by Sally Lloyd-Jones, a way to reach your children and your grandchildren with the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. It's a great two-book set that'll find a prominent place on your child's or grandchild's bookshelf. And we're sending it to thank you for your investment in this outreach, not only here on A New Beginning, but through our nationwide Harvest Crusades. So thanks for your donation that we'll put to good use, touching hearts. In fact, if you'd like to help us on a regular basis, ask about becoming a Harvest partner. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, a few moments ago, you spoke of the need to get our hearts right with God. Could you help someone who wants to do that very thing right now?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. This can be the moment where you change your eternal address, literally, from hell to heaven. I'll pray a simple prayer, and I would just ask you to pray this prayer out loud if you like. After me, just pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Jesus, I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In your name I pray, amen. I know, it's such a simple, short prayer. But you just called on the name of the Lord. And you know what? He heard that prayer. And if you meant that prayer in your heart, he answered that prayer. Now let me help you to get started on the right foot in your new life in Jesus Christ. The greatest adventure awaits you, the life of walking with God. I want to send you what we call a New Believer's Growth Pack that includes the New Believer's Bible and a whole lot more. And let me be the first to say to you, congratulations. And welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and to get that free New Believer's Growth Pack, just ask for it if you've prayed along with Pastor Greg to receive Christ. We'll be glad to send one your way. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God.
You know, Easter is the perfect opportunity to bring someone to church that does not yet know the Lord. But here's the big difference this year. We're going to do it all online. That's right. Easter is coming to you, to your house, to your tablet, to your phone, wherever you want to view it. Just go to harvest.org to find out more. Let's work together to reach the largest group of people we have ever been able to make contact with this coming Easter. It's Harvest Easter Online.
Well, next time, Pastor Greg invites one of our most popular guests back onto the program. Author and theologian Don Stewart joins Pastor Greg to talk about how to walk with God. Join us next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.